Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Obadiah as we continue on in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Obadiah verses 20 through 21.
And the exiles of this host of the sons of Israel, who are among the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem, who are in Sepharad, will possess the cities of the Negev. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's.
The message of Obadiah centers on the nation of Edom, a neighboring nation to Israel. Edom and Israel have a long history of conflict, going all the way back to the twin founders of the two nations. God had chosen Jacob, the founder of Israel, to receive the family's inheritance instead of his older brother Esau, the founder of Edom. But when Jacob stole the inheritance through an act of trickery and deceit, Esau sought to kill Jacob. Even though the brothers eventually reconciled, rivalry grew between the nations over the years. At this point in Israel's history, Babylon has invaded the nation and carried them into exile away from their land. But rather than helping their distant relatives, Edom has taken advantage of Israel's vulnerable state. They've done things like plundering their cities and abusing their refugees. So, through the prophet Obadiah, God proclaims judgment against Edom for their offense against his people. God says, "As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you." In God's words to Edom, we learn that pride is at the heart of their sin. Listen to what God says to them. "The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, and the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to earth?' Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down." Pause and think for a second. What lies at the root of arrogance? As I reflected on this, I realized arrogance is always associated with self-consumption. C.S. Lewis once famously said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." Arrogant people often come off with an air of importance and power. But if you think about it, what often drives us to think about ourselves a lot is insecurity. I think about the times I'm self-consumed and seeking to elevate myself, and it's always when I'm insecure. When I'm around a new group of people and I want them to like me. Or when I don't know if someone respects me, so I draw attention to my experiences or knowledge. The book of Obadiah makes it clear that God hates arrogance. But it's not because He wants people to be weak. It's because He wants them to be strong by finding security in Him. God says He's going to bring Edom down for their arrogance, and He also says that their fall will represent the future fall of all arrogant nations. Obadiah verse 15 says, "For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations." According to Obadiah, God will one day establish His kingdom over the whole world and bring down the arrogant and prideful. But He will also exalt or lift up the humble. Those who know God's grace is a gift they didn't deserve. Those who live secure in the love of God, they know they can't lose. And instead of continuing the cycle of pride and violence, Obadiah declares that the humble will rule with God justly in His kingdom forever. This prophesied day was inaugurated by Jesus Himself. Jesus perfectly embodied the humility espoused in Obadiah by taking on our humanity. He did not come to earth to be served, but to serve. He lowered himself to the point of dying a death on a cross he didn't deserve, that we might be lifted up to life from our spiritual deadness. After Jesus rose from the dead, Philippians 2:9 says, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. We were all once like Edom, God's enemies, intent on building our own kingdoms. But Christ loved us and pursued us and opened up reconciliation to God on the cross. What is it that qualifies us for salvation? Humility. To humbly accept God's grace to cover our sin and credit us with Christ's perfection. Those in Jesus live as members of God's kingdom, no longer boasting in themselves, but only in the cross of Christ. They no longer rely on themselves, but on God's strength. They no longer exalt themselves because they leave that task to God. He delights to lift up the humble. Humility can be hard because it means letting go of our drive to prove ourselves. It means giving up our control and trusting that God already loves us and accepts us fully in Christ. And it means trusting that that is enough. Take a moment to reflect now. In what ways might you be trying to prove yourself? To God, to others, even to yourself. Now, spend a few moments with God and thank Him for accepting and exalting you in Christ. For those who walk the path of humility, the reward of peace abounds. The humble are freed from the exhausting compulsion to rack up achievements and accolades to make a name for themselves. They are freed from the never-ending work of attracting praise and admiration from others to build themselves up. Andrew Murray was a South African writer and pastor in the 20th century, and he said it this way. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord, where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret, and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all above and around is trouble. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for the peace that comes from surrendering our need to prove ourselves and from resting in His love.
Come, sing of what He's done. There is hope for everyone. Sing of what He's done.